When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
The Bears will return to practice on Thursday, starting that real prep for the Monday Nighter at the Vikings. Will you be actively tuning out reports about vibe around the team this week? Are you done with all the storylines regarding the happiness of players, excitement in the locker room, or crispiness of workouts? Are any of those elements relevant after the performance in San Francisco this past Sunday?
Yeah, okay. I got to be honest with you. The preparations for the Monday Nighter, the happiness vibe, the whole... I am so not interested in whether or not they feel energy. I don't want to hear anything about a coach's bump again, ever. I don't want to know what the temperature of the team is. I find it irrelevant with this team. And I did feel, as I said last week, I was getting suckered. I was being told a story and to buy into a story about improvement based on what exactly? I thought the performance, the first half of that game, and the entire game for the defense was almost shameful. It was almost like I didn't see the emotion that you talked about with the college kids. I didn't see any kind of, and I don't want to say the players don't want to win or they're not competing, but I didn't see any extra. I didn't see any benefit from everything that had happened. And quite the opposite. I felt like they were outcoached, outplayed, and they were just not as good as that organization at pretty much every position on the field. And I think when you see that happen, I'm not sure we felt that way about this team going into the season. I'm not sure we felt that way even when we were watching them in some games that they lost. But that was genuinely outclassed all the way around. There's no other way to feel about it, so I no longer care if they're happy.
Yeah, their happiness is not necessarily at the top of the list. They obviously, the players and the team, is not concerned with our happiness as the fans. They clearly, it's like a little kid where you're going to sit at the table or you're not going to have lunch. You know, you got to eat your lunch first and then you can have a piece of chocolate. And then you end up giving them the piece of chocolate because you don't want to listen to them moan and groan. So they didn't want Matt Eberflus around anymore. They played like they didn't want him around anymore. So the team did something they've never done in the history of the charter franchise of the sport. Got rid of the coach midseason. Something that I believe the McCaskies did not want to do, which is why it lasted until it lasted on Friday, Black Friday for Matt Eberflus after Thanksgiving, right? There was no reason that it didn't happen on Thanksgiving night or at the crack of dawn. On Friday, Matt Eberflus should have never been back out there talking to the media and talking to the fans through the media. Should have never happened ever, ever, ever. And we can say, well, who was it? Was it Kevin Warren? I know it wasn't Ryan Poles. That I bet any money Ryan Poles at that point had no hesitation to get rid of his friend, air quotes, Matt Eberflus. But yeah, I'm done with it too. I don't want to hear about that. But listen, the head coach on his introductory press conference admitted, unless he misspoke, he admitted that there was an issue in the locker room.
Oh yeah. No, he said they had to get the team together. That was the number one thing.
Right. They had to get it. So he also the media to ask players what was going on and who's not happy with who. Is the defensive line not happy with the secondary? Or is this an offense versus defense? Is this a young versus old? Is this, it's all about Caleb Williams, and I'm sick of hearing about that. The wide receivers, maybe. There was an issue between our guy DJ Moore and Caleb Williams. They admitted there was something going on, that they have not been holding hands the whole way through this thing. So, but yes, I'm tired of it. I am tired of it. It shouldn't be the storyline.
I think the whole narrative of the everything's better now, the locker room is more happy. Like, I just thought that got so blown out of proportion. Did I think that there would still be potentially a bump and a boost from new leadership? I did. But I just think the whole that we're happy now. Look at us dancing at practice. Like, they were dancing all year. Like, yeah. I cover them at training camp. Cover them a few weeks, early on in the season. This team has always liked it. Like, they enjoy football. Like, they have a great job, right? Like, they love what they do. I never felt like there was any, no one's moping, no one's unhappy. I am done hearing about this everything's better now sort of situation. Like, that's just, and I think, as Dustin sort of alluded to, like, they asked for that attention by saying, we got to bring everyone together. It was Eric Washington that you guys were saying, everyone's smiling. Like, congratulations. Like, I don't know. I you guys have lost a lot of games. Like, should anyone be smiling? I don't care who the coach is. So I'm definitely done hearing about the storylines. I don't know if anything is going to really, other than playing better, is going to get you a win on a game, whether you're happy or not. So, good luck.
Terrific question. Need to get that answered. Don't have it for you today.
Bruce Levine will take the questions at 8 o'clock from you guys. He's down live at the winter meetings down in Dallas. Let's talk about the Bears' vaunted culture. Can you think of a good example of it during the 7-game losing streak? Is it a myth? You hope they hire a coach with NFL experience to improve or build on these areas, the team, or are they content to promote a hot coordinator as the Bears have so often done?
That says me first. All right. I think an example of this culture, if I'm understanding, interpreting the question correctly, I want to say during this losing streak, other than the New England and the Arizona game, like, they were fighting till the bitter end, the players. And like, that to me is a sign of a good culture. No one, other than those two games, which I think could be Arizona, maybe a hangover from the Hail Mary, and New England, just God only knows. But I think an example of sort of the way that this football team is built and the personalities that they've sort of gathered together to form this roster, these guys are fighters. I think they want to win. I think they want to work hard. And I think they want to do things that lead to winning, to the point of maybe we don't necessarily believe in our coaching staff putting us in the best situation at the end of the game, but we're going to do everything we can to at least get there. So I think that's an example of the culture. Now you got to figure out how to win, right? Like, that's the next step in the culture. Do I hope they hire a coach with experience? Absolutely. I think it is important, and, you know, everyone's making a big deal of this leader of men phrase that just drives me absolutely up the wall, because guess what? There are women in the organization too, just for the record. You're leading an organization, not just the NFL players. Oh, also, there's a woman on your coaching staff. So, leader of men, I think, is someone, to me, that they are looking for someone with experience who has done this before, who can command a room, who knows how to formulate a winning coaching staff, knows how to win. I think that's a huge part of this too. And, you know, we were talking about two examples of that. And, you know, I think Mike Vrabel is another great example. Brian Flores, back-to-back winning seasons in New England, in Miami, comes from New England, where did a lot of winning there too. So I think there is a lot of, it would be hard to criticize a hire of a coach who has previous coaching winning experience.
I'm going to have the 708 texter help me out here. He responded to the show. Maybe next year we don't need 8 captains.
Mm-hmm.
We joked about this going back when this happened.
You never need 8 captains.
You never. When you have 8, you have none, right? This is one of those, the old too many Chiefs, not enough Indians, right? You know, this is it's silly. And, you know, this now goes
Rosie
all the
said
way
it
to the
yesterday.
Top.
Yesterday, you know, you got 2 quarterbacks, you don't have 1.
Right.
You got 8 captains. Who's the leader?
But Ryan Poles sold the fans and the media on how much better the culture was in the building. I think what we got to consume off of Hard Knocks was trying to show us about all this kumbaya type stuff from the taco truck at Matt Eberflus's extravagant party with the infinity pool heading over the lake. You know, it was all, we get along, we have fun, everybody's pulling in the same direction. We were sold this fake bill of goods. I'm right now today, and the big question is, who's your offensive coordinator? You know, if today, Dustin, who should be the next head coach of the Bears? I'd go Mike Vrabel, from the fact that he has had head coaching experience, and I think guys learn from that. I mean, you know, they always say you get these jobs to be fired, and how do guys respond the second time? What did they, you know, I don't want to be fired again, so what am I going to do to not get fired again? And I like the New England Patriot Bill Belichick stink on him, but the first question is, who's going to be your offensive coordinator, Mike Vrabel?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the old adage would be Belichick needed Cleveland before he became the great coach that he eventually was with the New England Patriots. I would say that the Bears have sold this culture stuff like crazy. I'm not saying it's completely non-existent. I think they have tried very hard to develop a culture. I think, however, that when you sell culture, great culture, as a reason that you had to force out the defensive coordinator last year and you had to fire the running backs coach, look how good our culture is. That's not what it means, guys. You know, you have a good enough culture where that stuff doesn't take place and you don't have to do that. That's what it means. And I think that, you know, I don't like the idea of players confronting the coach in the post game. I don't like the idea of it. I think it's, you know, maybe I'm old school, but every team I've ever been on, you have to acknowledge that somebody is above you and has a better role than you, and you can't do that, guys. You just can't do it, whether he had it coming or not. I thought that the whole Tyreek Stevenson thing, that's how this whole losing streak started. That's bad culture, man. That is selfish. That is not buying into the program. That's not doing what you are required to do in order to keep your job. And his reaction to that and everything that happened afterward, I listen, people make mistakes. You know, I thought Olin pointing out that for Tevin Jenkins to sort of be, well, I love Flusie, but I mean, everybody feels like he had to go, or whatever way he was, just, you know, the ladder, which was, did he have to go? When you're the guy that makes a big penalty at the end of the game that puts you in a hole, and then the quarterback gets sacked, and you run, the clock is ticking. I mean, I watched it. I know how bad it was, and I even if you're fighting and coming back, the fact that you can't finish it isn't an example of great culture. It is. I felt that other people also made mistakes, but the accountability factor is why you fire the coach.
Well, that's a great point, because not once did I hear over the course of last week after Matt Eberflus gets fired, not really did I ever hear anyone say, this sucks. Like, we never want our coach to get fired. We didn't do enough as players. I didn't hear that from anyone last week. Accountability.
I thought that Caleb Williams at one point said something. Said something like, there's a human element to it. But that was like the only guy that even acknowledged this guy. Like, I think Matt Eberflus stays in the NFL and he'll be a defensive coordinator and he'll be a good one. But I don't think he gets another bite at the apple. I don't think another franchise is giving him a head coaching job. That's a tough end to his career if he's never a head coach again. That's just a tough way to have it end. And I don't think anybody felt even our listeners, no one felt, everyone was kind of like, well, he had to go. Like, what happened? He had to go. And I get it. I understand what happened, and I know about accountability. I'm just saying, like, wow, that guy, you know, hopes, dreams, he reached the top of the mountain. I know he's getting paid to leave. You don't have to text me that he's getting paid. I understand the situation. I'm just saying, you know, imagine if you really aspired to that and you devoted your life to it and you reached the height of your profession and then you were unceremoniously kicked out the door, whether you're responsible for it or not, it's a harsh reality.
Not to mention all the assistants, low-level assistants on that coaching staff that now have to move their families.
Yes.
Like, there's a lot of situations that happen when a head coach gets fired, and for the players just kind of be like, yeah, we were excited about the change. Like, accountability, come on.
It's harsh. It's just tough. And I don't know that there's a single guy, and we've talked about this, that doesn't need to look in the mirror and say, have I done everything possible? Because we know for a fact that they haven't.
I mean, is that really a question?
Were you in any way amused to see the confusion among some baseball fans that the White Sox weren't in the MLB's draft lottery after becoming the worst team in baseball's history? History. Is there any upside in picking 10th in this draft?
Okay, I'm exposing myself on this one because, like, I didn't even know that this was good. Like, until I saw the pick six questions, I was like, what? Like, I didn't know this was happening.
They changed the rules. What do they call it? The competitive balance rule or something? Because teams are losing on purpose.
Right.
They're not going to let you have a top pick 2 years running.
Right.
But the way it worked out with all the lottery stuff, the Sox would have picked sixth. I saw Jim Margulis texted that. Like, if they were in that lottery and they had, like, all the odds for the number one pick, they would have been sixth.
I mean, it's just, it is funny because it's just so emblematic of White Sox, right? Like, just nothing really going your way, right? So I think that's why it was amusing. Is there an upside to picking 10th in the draft? Well, I guess they could pick high next year, right?
That's the upside. They could have number one next year.
So there you go.
When they lose 100 games.
Right.
That's the upside.
Right.
So you didn't get it. They're probably going to lose 100 games next year, right? Well, they're not going to be as bad, but probably 100.
They'll get 20 games better and lose 100.
Right? And lose 100. So, okay. You know, is it amusing? You know, sure. It
was amusing, the confusion.
They're trying to let teams not tank. That's the purpose of this whole thing.
Hmm. Okay, here's the good news. You ready? This is the good news. The good news is that in rounds 2 through 20, they will have the number one pick in that round. So in each round after the first round, they pick 10th in the first round.
Right.
But if they do their job well, they will get first bite at the apple in every other round. But no, it does stink that they really get. I mean, you get the 10th pick after that season. The Bears could get the 10th pick in next year's draft, and they didn't set a record for historical losses. I mean, they had a lot of bad ones, and they certainly offended us and ruined our lives having to watch it. But no, I was kind of amused because they have put in this rule, and you're absolutely right, Dustin. They don't want everyone taking. And the very fact that they can get the number one pick next year kind of is nice because I don't think they're really going to be that much better, but we'll be getting into it.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Ask me the hard-hitting questions.
Did Time Magazine get it right by picking Caitlin Clark as its Athlete of the Year? Should a rookie get such an honor without winning a title? Did the fact that she acknowledged her, quote, white privilege and say that, quote, more we can elevate black women, that's going to be a beautiful thing, end quote, buy her any goodwill among fellow players?
I think this is you, Molly.
I was that last.
You want me to go? Okay. Yeah,
it's okay.
Oh, sorry. Okay, this is me. They definitely got it right by naming her Athlete of the Year. She drew so much attention to women's basketball, college and professional, because of what she did and the records she broke and the way that she handled it all. I think she drew an entire, you saw all the records, the TV records, breaking all the records, right? With the attention that women's basketball was getting last year. I think acknowledging, you know, I'm sort of battling with this a little bit because it does feel like Caitlin Clark has had to answer for a lot of racial and sort of political, social, like, causes that she's just playing basketball and doing it really, really well. So it's unfortunate that she's having to sort of take on all of that responsibility as well. However, with the spotlight comes, you know, that's what it is. And I think acknowledging that there is a disparity and maybe what's the word I'm looking for? Sort of like a disconnect between the white women's basketball players and the women's basketball players of color. I think that's something to acknowledge and to elevate. And I think she is acknowledging that she's aware of it. And so I think it's hard to sort of criticize her in that situation for saying those things. And it does, from what I've gathered, obviously I'm not a woman of color, but or a professional basketball player, but it does look like that's being received well that she said that. So if that's going to unify, dare I use the word unify this week, but if that's going to unify these women's basketball players and athletes that are dealing with sort of this difficult, polarizing situation, then so be it. But I think she deserves the recognition. I think she has completely transformed not just women's basketball, but women's sports and the attention that it's on. It was really unfortunate. Molly and I were talking about this. It's unfortunate that she wasn't on the Olympic team because of the eyeballs.
It's insane.
So, listen, she changed the way that people perceive women's sports, and she deserves a lot of credit for that.
What you just said to end your answer is the reason why she did so much to change the way women's sports are perceived. Mm-hmm. That's why she should win the. It's not. This is not about championships. This is not about being white. It's not about being black. I remember, as an example, last winter, we did a special. I thought it was a great idea and a great show. We did a special pregame Super Bowl show. All the hosts, the score were together at a bar restaurant before the Super Bowl. There's obviously sporting events that day. Caitlin Clark was going. Trying to be the all-time leading scorer, I think, in the Big Ten at that point. Not ever, but in the Big Ten. Like, every TV in this sports bar had that game on. They had a huge graphic in the corner as she made baskets, counting it down. I was staring at the TV. People were making prop bets on, you know, her over-under in points, her over-under in attempted or made three-pointer. Yes. Now, I would love to know, and I can't find it, like, who's the runner-up?
Oh, for the athlete
like,
of the year?
You know, like, yeah. So, right. Like, is there a debate? Who's it doesn't? I don't see anything out there. They don't let you know who are the top five vote-getters. I mean, now, is she the best athlete on the planet? I don't think that's what it's about. I think she brought an unbelievable positive attention to. You see the lines wrapped around the buildings? Every arena was sold out. Taylor Swift wants to go see her play basketball. Yes, she is the Time Athlete of the Year, and congratulations to her.
First of all, I think this is a tremendous story. I think that. It's a really fitting and appropriate gift to give her. First of all, she played in a championship last year, didn't she? Wasn't she in the national championship in college? And the next thing you know, she's in the WNBA. That is crazy to me how quickly the two seasons follow each other. I mean, they really might want to rethink that at some point because it felt like she and all of the rookies were totally getting burnt out. By the time you got to the Olympic break, and they probably needed that, probably was good for them, but she should have been on that team. Listen, what Caitlin Clark accomplished last year was pretty extraordinary because she brought a sport into the national lens. People that didn't watch women's basketball were watching it because Caitlin Clark was playing. They were watching her play, and her numbers and the amount of viewers that she brought in was extraordinary. But they also were watching games when she wasn't playing. She brought an interest, and she was like Steph Curry in the way that she changed the game in terms of not just the way that she could hit a three-pointer, but she brought popularity to women's basketball. It really, she sold that sport, man. And people followed her from her college career into her WNBA career. And I'm sure there was a lot of pettiness and jealousy over the fact that it was relatively easy for her and she got more attention than anyone else. But a high tide lifts all ships. I mean, she did a lot for that game. And I think it's great what she had to say about that. I think that, you know, we all stand on the shoulders of giants. You're not the first one to do what you do. You're part of a lineage of people that you are leaning upon for the businesses that you work in when you're in the, let's call it, the entertainment industry. So I don't think she's had a misstep. I think it's really hard to be in the public eye as much as she is, and she hasn't had a misstep.
Yeah.
And that's, Taylor told her. Taylor Swift said that after the Eras Tour is over, she and Trev want to come to one of her games in Indiana. And she invited her to a Chiefs game. I mean, you know, if right. you're going to be hanging out with Tay-Tay, you've hit a new level.
Peak.
That's another really good question.
Where are you with Chris Getz saying it's not a stretch to have Colson Montgomery as the White Sox starting shortstop, depending how the team's top prospect does in the spring? And catcher Edgar Cuero is expected to contend for the spot on a big league roster, the White Sox big league roster. Your thoughts on that?
Well, they're not going to go out and get a team, is what they're telling you. They're going to promote their guys from within. And you know, I'm all for Colson Montgomery. I hope he, you know, he kind of salvaged what was a bad year for him in the minors last year with his great performance in the Arizona Fall League. And I know he's said that he wants to stick at shortstop. I think long term he might be a third baseman. I would be open to that, even if he isn't. Edgar Cuero is going to be, he's going to be the bigger of the two in terms of his star. He's going to be an unbelievable player. They already have said they're going to get another catcher, and they have one. But I think that they're going with some of the younger guys. I just wish they had more of them.
Well, if you're not going to play Colson Montgomery this year at that position, then when in the world would you do it? If not now, when?
Love it. Mic drop. I think, Azeka has said it. I really think, I mean, I wasn't surprised to see this. I think this is what it's going to be. It's going to be give the guys a shot to figure it out, and hopefully they're managed more appropriately. You got Talkman to lead the way. Big Mike. So I think it's cool. Colson Montgomery, and I'm not going to pretend to say that I've studied him, but he seems like a very exciting player just to watch, Molly, if I'm, you know, correct. So I think it's going to be really interesting. It's going to be sort of a, let's see what these guys can do, get them the experience and the bigs, and build around them.
The last question will be.
That's the voice of Stacey Dale. She's here at 9. How do you feel about Patrick Williams participating fully in the Bulls' non-contact practice yesterday, as expected to play in contact full scrimmage practice today? He's been out since November the 18th.
So it's been just under a month. I hope that Patrick Williams can continue to sort of progress and find some consistency in the way that he was playing before he got hurt. But I feel like we've been saying that for a really long time. So I'm a little bit, I hope he can stay healthy. I hope that he continues his upward trajectory of sort of this aggressive nature that we've seen sparks of. Now you just have to stay healthy and do it consistently. And I am going to cautiously get excited about it, but that's very even keeled.
Barry, Dustin, not a fan of Patrick
Williams. Whip the frickin' do. If he takes 1 minute of minute away from Matas Buzelis when he returns, then, you know, eh. Programming note, Billy Donovan, 8:25, Mully, with you tomorrow. And ooh, just because I'm being me, ooh is not a basketball move.
Yeah, and no one beyond whatever grammar school team you coached ever has done that. My
Knights
God.
Basketball. Ooh is not a basketball move. And that's what Patrick Williams does. He stands in the corner, tries to shoot
He's
a three.
He's never
ooh.
Made that noise. He's never done that. You are, Dustin has, there was some like friend of his daughter's peeved him off as a coach, whatever, 5 years ago, and now he's projected it all on Patrick Williams. That's my belief.
Wrong.
Patrick Williams, they need him. It's good to get him back. Yeah. They need all hands on deck. I'm happy that he's finally feeling better. I'm happy he returned to the non-contact practice, and I'm glad that he'll be taking a part in some scrimmage stuff today, and he'll be going full contact. I think that they need all of their players. They're paying him. They want to see what he can do. I do agree with Dustin that there can be. Do not interrupt the momentum that you're building with Matas Buzelis.
Yeah.
And whatever way you need to play him, that is the priority, because I think he has the more promising future, and you want to get to that as quickly as possible. But I have no problem with Patrick Williams coming back. All players welcome on the Chicago Bulls.